We have two gospel readings today, both from the Gospel of Matthew. The first comes from Matthew 26. It's verses 26 through 28. It's on page 1543 of the Bible in the pew in front of you. These are words from the first Last Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And our second reading is a one-sentence reading from Matthew 18, verse 20, and it's on page 1527, if you'd like to follow along. These familiar words of Jesus: "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." This ends the reading of our lessons for this Sunday morning. God is speaking to us through these words. When God speaks, the words are true, and we can trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At our church board meeting last month in July, we were again discussing the idea that I raised on my very first Sunday here, that the possibility of sharing the communion meal here every week instead of once a month. The conversation that day was generally positive, but at the end of the discussion, one person said, "I wouldn't have a problem with this, but why do we have to have communion every Sunday?" So I said to him, I said, "Write it up as a question for this What Do You Want to Know sermon series that we're in, and I will give you a couple weeks on it to explain, to make my case anyway, for why I think it would be a good idea." He did that, and here we are. Why should we have communion every Sunday? I'm going to be asking for your thoughts on this too, by the way, after the sermon, so get yourselves ready for that. We live on a planet that is, on the one hand, beautiful and abundant, a world so rich and generous that were her resources managed well and distributed equitably, she could provide for the health and the well-being of every man, woman, and child living here. On the other hand, we also live in a world that, in far too many places and far too many lives, is badly broken. In these broken places, cruelty is celebrated as a public sacrament. Meanness feels like righteousness, and greed is called holy. In these broken places, this morning, Palestinian children are being driven to starvation, and governments, including our own, think this is acceptable policy. In these broken places in our own country, our immigrant children are being ripped away from their parents, who are often sent to concentration camps in foreign countries where they have very little chance of ever seeing their children again. This is called strength. This, many think, will make us great again. But cruelty and greed don't make us great, do they? Even if we were only witnessing their effects from a distance, cruelty and greed will, sooner or later, break us all, will leave us fractured, divided, and dismembered from ourselves, from our families, from our communities. Cruelty and greed are a kind of forgetting who we are. And the cost of this brokenness is enormous. It is deadly, to our spiritual health, to the well-being of those that we love, and to the futures of the people we will never know. This is the world that we have to navigate. This is the world where we are called to follow in the way of Jesus. When Jesus brought his disciples and friends together for what would be his last supper with them, he acted out for them what has become for us a sacred meal, a holy sacrament. He gave them bread and wine, and then he told them to remember. And this is where things get interesting. Most of us think that remember is the opposite of forget, but that isn't quite right. The opposite of remember is to dismember. When you dismember something, you take it apart. You separate things that belong together, like dissecting a frog in your high school biology class. When you remember something, you repair it, you bring it back together, you bring the pieces back where they belong. When you remember a memory that you had forgotten, you are bringing a piece of yourself back into your consciousness. Something you had lost is brought home. To remember, you see, literally means to be put back together. And conversely, when we witness meanness or cruelty, or worse yet, when we participate in it through our actions, our voices, our taxes, our votes, we are dismembered in another way. Part of the gift God gave us at creation is broken off. We are created, Scripture tells us, in the image of God. But our cruelty and greed can tarnish that image, sometimes beyond repair, it seems. It makes us forget who we are. Judas forgot who he was when he betrayed Jesus and cut himself off from him. Peter forgot who he was when he denied Jesus and found himself dismembered from the one that he loved the most. When Jesus sat down with his friends around that first communion table, he already knew what was going to happen. He knew that he and his disciples would be dismembered. They were about to be split apart, drawn and quartered, scattered, separated. And this was a gravely dangerous time for them. Their survival was not guaranteed. We think it was guaranteed, but in fact, it was not. Ask any surgeon. It is not easy to remember a body that has been dismembered. It is not easy to revive someone when they are dead, even when they are mostly dead. And when we are broken, the world itself is broken. The image of God in creation is diminished. The purposes of God for creation are endangered. So, as his parting gift, Jesus gave his friends nourishment for what lay ahead. He said to them, "Eat this bread, drink this cup, remember me." And he meant, I think, that remembering him, being restored to him, would remember us as well. We would be remembering ourselves as well. When we remember Jesus at this table, and as often as we come to this table, we recall our minds and hearts, in our minds and hearts, this person whom we name as our Lord. And we are reminded of his promise, then we are restored to his presence. The parts of ourselves and our relationships that were broken are repaired. The parts of ourselves that were lost are recovered. Most importantly, at this table, we are remembered with Jesus. And that's why it is so important, and why we have so much to gain by gathering around this table often. Eating and drinking at Jesus' table was never meant to be an occasional little ritual we did by memory, reciting it as it's a rote memory without much thought or feeling, or a little benefit. We do not come to the table simply to recall something we have forgotten, you see. We come to the table to be remembered, rejoined to the one we call our Lord. Sometime in the past week, as recently as yesterday perhaps, some part of ourselves may have been torn away, maybe by our own actions, maybe by events out in the world. So at Jesus' invitation, and most importantly, in the very real presence of Jesus himself, we return here to eat and to drink and to be reconnected, restored, remembered. We come to be made whole again. That's what happens here at the communion table, and as often as we gather at the communion table, things come together. We are restored ourselves, and so we can now participate in the repair of the world and the people that God loves and people God has redeemed. Look, life can be hard. Sometimes it can be ugly. Sometimes things crack. Sometimes we break open and bleed, come apart at the seams. Choose your own metaphor. But here at this table, we are fed and nourished. The great distance that we imagined ourselves between ourselves and our Creator is overcome. We're brought back to the center, and we discover we are no longer alone. We discover, in fact, that we never have been alone. Our betrayal is forgotten. Our hope for our suffering neighbors and for the whole world is restored. We are strengthened and equipped to live well through another week. Now, this is a mystery. The very real presence of Christ with us at the table is a deep mystery. But here, we eat and drink and discover to our delight that we are connected again to each other, to our neighbors near and far, to our God. We are remembered to our Lord, who will not, who cannot let us go. Amen.